You may be seated. Our next case is 11-1664, State of Ohio versus Robert Moore III. For the appellant, Mr. Van.
Thank you. Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor, Justices of the Supreme Court. My name is Daniel Van on behalf of the State of Ohio. And if I may, I would like to reserve 5 minutes for a rebuttal. This case is about whether the improper waiver of the mandatory fine that occurred in this case is essentially void or voidable. And I think to get to this end,
you want to come here and ask that question?
Well, Your Honors, I do think that is the ultimate question. And we recognize that
some of us have opinions on that topic.
Yes, and I'm sure there will be several questions to the point.
Go ahead.
But essentially, this case is about whether the sanction or the criminal penalty of a mandatory fine for a drug offense case is akin to post release control or the driver's license suspension, or if it's more akin to a court cost, which was discussed by this court in Joseph. And undoubtedly in this case, as explained in Gibson, the requirement to waiving the mandatory fine for a drug offense is both that the trial court must find that the defendant is indigent and that the affidavit of indigency is filed prior to sentencing. While it was noted that the best practice is probably to have the affidavit filed before a sentencing hearing, for purposes of the statute, filing means that the affidavit of indigency is filed prior to generalization of the sentence. And what had occurred in this case was that there was a sentencing hearing, a prosecutor was present, and the mandatory fines came up. Defense counsel for Mr. Moore at the time had indicated that an affidavit of indigency would be filed and made a motion to the court to waive the mandatory fine.
Can't we just send this case back and tell them to consider Harris? Because doesn't Harris answer the question here?
Harris does answer the question as to what if this particular sanction is void because the trial court didn't impose it. In Harris, it was a driver's license suspension, which the trial court had no authority to disregard. The trial court had to impose the driver's license suspension. And I think this case is a little bit different because while the statute does require the imposition of a mandatory fine, the statute, again, allows the trial court, in fact, requires that the trial court not impose a mandatory fine if the defendant is deemed indigent and the affidavit is filed prior to sentencing.
But those conditions weren't met here, so the fine had to be imposed, and the statute says shall. And this court has said if there's a mandatory portion of the sentence that's not imposed, that makes the portion of the sentence void, so partially void, somewhat void, not an entire nullity, the way we thought void meant.
Or voidable.
Void enough. Correct, Your Honor. And I think
this is an inside joke, Mr. Van. You don't have to get exercised about it.
I mean, but the point is that we have to make clear for cases going forward what we are intending to say. And whether it's logical or not, we have to follow the precedent that's there.
Correct, Your Honor. That's the clarification the state is asking for this court to make today, because this is on a certified conflict. A similar fact pattern occurred in State versus DeLoach out of the Ninth District. The Ninth District in that case ultimately concluded that there was no disregard of a statutory authority. And in that matter,
If we follow the development of the line of cases where we've had a couple other things come up beyond post-conviction relief, we've pretty much clarified now that only that portion of the sentence would be void and sent back down for resentencing, have we not?
Yes, Your Honor.
And so their request that the entire sentence be void, we've pretty well resolved that issue with our line of current cases, have we not?
I believe so, Your Honor.
And in this case, didn't the attorney eventually file the affidavit now?
No affidavit of indigency was filed. I don't believe this is reflected on the record. In one of the cases, Mr. Moore, pro se, it's on the public docket, did file his affidavit of indigency. So ultimately, if the decision is that this waiver was void, it would only go back to the trial court to make a determination of indigency. And if that is the case, if it's as it was back in 2009 when the judge originally waived the mandatory fine, then again, there will be a waiver of a mandatory fine.
And in the reality with our current line of cases saying only that portion is void, if we say that only that portion goes back for sentencing, why would there ever be an incentive for a defendant to challenge the fact that he wasn't given a mandatory fine? I mean, he's asking for more punishment that way.
Yes, and I think after Fisher and Harris, there wouldn't be an incentive. Prior to Fisher, there was the attempt to have the de novo resentencing, and still I think I've seen some cases even after Fisher where defendants are still asking to vacate the entire void sentence.
Well, and conversely, there's no incentive for the state to correct these situations right away because you have the opportunity to do it at any point. You don't have the 30-day limitation that you had before. This whole situation is if you find that the court did not impose a mandatory fine or a mandatory license suspension or made some mistake that the state feels the court should have done, the state has the right to come back and have it corrected.
Correct. And in that case, that means that, again, the trial court, if this was remanded back because the waiver is void, the trial court would be required to impose the mandatory fine unless the trial court makes the determination that Mr. Moore is indigent. And I think, again, that's the point in which the state is distinguishing from post-release control and driver's license suspension, this ability for the trial court to waive the mandatory fine with respect.
You don't have any argument you don't have any objection if it is sent back and the affidavit of indigency is considered at that point rather than initially being filed. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. It would go back for a hearing for a determination of
indigency whether or not the imposition of the mandatory fine and the consideration of whether the affidavit of indigency will allow the court to waive that mandatory fine.
Correct.
Okay.
So is there anything for us to write, or do we just, as Justice Brown pointed out, simply remand this for consideration of our decision in Harris?
I would ask this court only to answer in part the certified question whether or not this was, in fact, a failure, a disregard of statutory authority or statutory requirements, whether this is akin to post-release control or whether the certain waiver aspects of mandatory fines make it more similar to Joseph, the court costs that this court discussed in Joseph.
So do you think this is controlled by Harris or not?
With regards to what needs to occur if this court answers the certified question, holds that the waiver of the mandatory fine is void. And I would just, again, the points I've made about the mandatory fine, the only other point I would like to make, because the Ninth District has in subsequent cases that we've cited, State versus Lewis has applied Joseph to this area of mandatory fine and cited the reasons in Joseph for why this court distinguished court costs from post-release control, that briefly being that court costs is not a criminal penalty. We do recognize that a fine is a criminal penalty. The fact that it can be waived, and the third part about whether or not another branch of government was affected by the trial court's failure to impose a court cost in that case. I would just note mandatory fines such as this one, as provided by the statute, I believe those are paid to the court. I guess if there's any argument that the money that's collected from a mandatory fine is ultimately paid out to law enforcement trust funds accounts, provided that they've set up the procedures in place to take care of those monies collected from the mandatory fine.
So Joseph would have to be overruled?
No, Joseph would just have to be applied to this case in the context that Joseph was relied upon to determine that by the Ninth District in subsequent cases to distinguish mandatory fine from post-release control.
And we found in Joseph, didn't we, that the sentence was not void, correct?
Correct.
And now you're saying apply Harris, which says that it is void.
I would argue that Harris would... I don't believe that Harris would necessarily require overruling of...
I'm getting a little confused.
I think this is what I understand you're asking. You're asking for Joseph to be applied, to be find it to be voidable, not void. If we find it void, to apply Harris and only void the portion of the sentence regarding mandatory fine. Is that an accurate statement of your position?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
Well, which do you want?
I would ask this court to answer the question as to whether or not the mandatory fine is void or voidable for the reasons that I've discussed, the reasons outlined in our briefing. And if this court ultimately, the answer is ultimately that it is void, then I think Harris controls what needs to happen next. If the answer is it's voidable, then the judgment of the 8th District just needs to be reversed and the original waiver stays in place. If there are no further questions, I reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lopresti.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, State versus Harris is different from this case in just one respect. A mandatory driver's license suspension is not waivable at the discretion of the court. A mandatory fine is waivable, but only if the procedures in 29-29-18B are followed, and that's not the case here. That consideration was relevant in State versus Joseph. That case determined that a failure to impose court costs did not render the sentence void because court costs are not a criminal sanction. Joseph doesn't apply because a mandatory fine is a criminal sanction.
Do you agree, however, that our current line of cases would really require this case to be returned only on that sole issue and not the entire sentence?
Not entirely, Your Honor. In State versus Fisher, the court held that a remedy was to remand for only the imposition of the void portion of the sentence. That case limited itself to post-release control. State versus Harris did not overrule State versus Fisher. At this point, the line of cases suggesting that only a void portion of a sentence can be corrected rather than the entire sentence is still limited to post-release control and a driver's license suspension.
So if we were to still follow those line of cases, then we would have to specifically expand that to mandatory fines, which is not what you want. You want us to throw the whole case out, obviously, but if we follow the development of those cases, we would say, okay, this falls in the same category of only that portion goes back.
That's correct. We would urge this court not to follow that line of cases for a few reasons, as outlined in our brief. The voidness of a sentence permits an appellate court to review all of the trial court's sentencing decisions once a valid sentence has been pronounced in its entirety. A void sentence encourages courts to take into consideration all relevant factors, and it encourages courts to impose mandatory terms at the first opportunity to do so.
So you're saying that ability of the appellate court to consider all aspects of the sentence, both the mandatory and then the other components imposed by the trial court, is not available at the first go-around on an appellate appeal that would precipitate the declaration that a certain portion, a certain mandatory portion, was void?
No, Your Honor. I'm suggesting that both the trial court and the Court of Appeals would have jurisdiction at that point to do so.
So you're saying that if the entire sentence was void, which is what you'd like to see here, then it gives the trial court the opportunity to reimpose the original sentence or a variation on that, and you're hoping is that it's a variation on the original sentence to be a lower imposition, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then if there is the need for appeal, there'll be an entire another review of the defendant's, the results of the trial court's imposition, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But if we were to expand Fisher to encompass this situation, the mandatory fine, we are really in keeping with the line of cases that have developed since Fisher. Would you not agree with that?
Yes, I would agree.
Okay. Although Fisher itself said that it was narrowly applied to specifically post-release control cases, did it not?
It did, and in State versus Harris, this court had the opportunity to decide whether to extend Fisher. It did so with respect to driver's license suspension, and for the reasons.
But that was the only thing that was on the table.
Right. That's correct.
So we're incrementally applying Fisher in more situations as they're brought to the court. So the only thing we had before us in Fisher and then in Harris were the, the mandatory segments of the sentence that happened to be imposed in that particular – with that particular defendant.
Yes, that's correct.
And then each time we have an additional a case to be decided with another component of a mandatory sentence, we can decide as a court whether to apply Fisher to another realm of the mandatory sentencing scheme.
Yes, that's correct. And for the reasons that we outline in our brief, we would urge the court not to extend Fisher further. If the court declines to extend it, it should affirm the 8th District Court of Appeals with respect to its holding that Mr. Moore's sentence is void and should remand for a de novo resentencing. If there are no further questions, I'll yield the remainder. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Van?
Yes, sir. The state would ask this court to answer the certified question and answer whether or not this is similar, the mandatory fine is similar to post-release control, statutorily mandated prison times, driver's license suspension, or if it's more closer to court costs. If not, then the state would ask that this court just simply remand this back for a hearing on the mandatory fine, at which time the trial court can again consider Mr. Moore's indigency and again waive the mandatory fine in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement and you'll be notified of our decision.
Mm-hmm.